Lord. Good morning, everybody. Hey, you glad to be in the house of the Lord here today? Yeah, well, it's so good to see everybody here. It's just such a blessing and such an honor to have you here at Family Church today. Praise God. As I look out again, I see new faces. It's always just such a blessing to have new family with us all the time. For those of you that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here at Family Church, and we know that God's got a plan for your life. Amen. And it's not just an okay plan, it's a great plan for your life. The Bible tells us over there, we quote it every week, and we need to hear it. You know, and if you've been here for years, guess what? This verse getting built into your heart is a good thing, right? Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. God is good. God has got a great plan. Proverbs 4:18, the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter unto the perfect day, right? Amen. 1 Peter 3:10, who will love life and see many good days? Let him keep his lips from evil, his tongue that he speaks no guile. Amen. God's got a good plan for your life. That does not mean you won't be tested. It doesn't mean you won't be tried. There's going to be plenty of opportunities in this life to be tested, but God's always got an answer. And listen, we stick to that plan because his plan is already blessed. You know, so many times people are asking God for permission to do something, or they're asking him to bless their plan for their life. Listen, that is not the question we bring to God. The question is, Father, show me your plan. Tell me what to do. That plan is already blessed. Amen. And so here at Family Church, our goal is to get you in the already blessed plan of God for your life. And sometimes it doesn't look the way we thought it would look like. It doesn't feel the way we thought it would feel. You know, sometimes when you preach the uncompromised word right out of the Bible, you know, there's things that challenge us. There's things that correct us. There's also things that teach us and encourage us. But we got to receive God's plan the way he wrote it. Amen. Listen, I'll tell you what, if the DVD player breaks, you don't go get the manual for a different appliance. You don't go get the manual for the washing machine. No, you get the manual for that appliance. In the same way, if you want to learn how to live life God's way, you got to get it out of his manual. Amen. Well, you ready to hear the word here today? Oh, I'm excited about this message. The last few messages, I know we've had a lot of challenging content, a lot of corrective content. And what made you think that today would be any different? Praise the Lord. Today I'm going to call this message, Keys to Being Stable in Life. Ooh, very pastoral, very needed. Glory to God. Go with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Are you glad to be in church here today? Romans chapter 1. If there is one thing that blesses and refreshes spiritual leadership more than anything, is when you see the people of God being established, being rooted and grounded, and becoming stable in the plan of God. Oh, my goodness. And I look around here, I've seen so many folks that you've just become rock solid in the plan of God. I've also had lots of experience, you know, over the last, you know, 11, 12 years, where I've seen a lot of God's people all of a sudden, you know, lose control, so to speak, and get out of the plan of God for their life, and they become unstable, and they start being pulled around by their emotions, pulled around by circumstances, pulled around by financial gain or financial loss. You know, all of a sudden the things in life start pulling them around, and they get, you know what I mean, they get loose, they get swerving, and they lose control in life. I'll tell you what, God, you know what God wants more than anything? He wants stable, firm, consistent believers that stay the course regardless of what's going on around them, regardless of the circumstances. Have you made a decision in your life to be stable for God? Oh, praise the Lord. Romans chapter 1, and today we're going to talk about the keys to a stable life. Last week I had 5 keys to being used by God. And so now I don't know if we're going to get to 5 of them here today. I got a few, but we're going to talk about the keys to living in stability. Oh, listen, God does not care how many spiritual dreams you have. Come on. You can have a spiritual dream every night of your life, but if you don't know how to live life right, if you're not living correctly, you know what I mean? If you're not living for his righteousness, I don't care how many spiritual dreams you have. I don't care how many times you've seen an angel standing in the corner of your room. You know, thank God for those things. Thank God for the spirit of seeing and knowing. Thank God for the discerning of spirits. There are biblical truth to that, and we certainly hold on to that. But I'm telling you what, that is not the mark of stability. It's not the mark of spirituality either. What the mark of spirituality is that you're stable and you're consistent. You're dependable. People can look upon you and they see someone rock solid week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out, decade in, decade out. They just see someone who's consistently growing in the things of God, consistently pursuing the things of God, and they're not allowing the winds of life, you know, the storms of life just to blow them around. You know, I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm a big proponent of a practical spirituality. I'm a big proponent for practical spirituality. Some of the people that I've seen that are the most unstable in life are the people that tell me how many visions they have every month. Thank God for visions. Thank God for the Spirit. Thank God for the revelation of those things. However, if you have those things without stability, listen, if God gives you a spiritual experience, it will promote stability. It will not make you more unstable. Oh, come on now. Praise the Lord. You know, if you're really pursuing God, you know, it'll make you stable. If you're following the right doctrine, it will make you stable. Amen. All right. Have you found Romans chapter 1? And we're going to look at verse 11. Paul the apostle is talking to a group. He's writing this letter to a group of Christians at Rome. And unlike the other letters that Paul wrote, like for instance to the Corinthians and the Ephesians and the Colossians and so many others, you know, he had not yet visited these Christians. He did not know them face to face, but you're going to see in this verse that he longed to meet them and to minister to them, all right? And so here we go, Romans chapter 1, and I want to read verse 11. This should be the heart of every minister of the gospel. Paul says this, he says this to these Christians at Rome, he says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established." I like that. He says, I want to come and stand in front of you so that there may be impartation to you from me that to the end that you would be established in life. All right? That word established, are you ready? It means set in a direction. It means to be resolute in one direction. I like that. I like that. Amen. To be resolute, to be set. Amen. Or planted or rooted in the right direction. That word also means to strengthen. He says, I want to stand before you because something on my life is going to strengthen your life. He says, I'm going to impart strength to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He says, I want to see you. Now notice that he's talking about whatever is he's going to impart, it cannot be imparted just by this letter, all right? Just by the letter. Now that letter happens to be a book of the New Testament. That letter happens to be the Epistle of Paul to the Romans. However, there was something more for them when he stood in front of them. He said, I want to see your face. Glory to God. Well, I tell you what, it matters when we're in church. Something's taking place when you can look eye to eye with your spiritual leadership. Amen. Praise God. He said, I want to impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end. That word spiritual gift means the graces. He said, the abilities. Amen. The spiritual gift there, it's not talking about specifically the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, you know, the discerning of spirits, you know, working of miracles, you know, tongues interpretation in the list giving us in 1 Corinthians 12. He's talking in generality here. He's saying, I long to impart the grace of God that has been given to me to you. Hallelujah. All right. He says, I may impart unto you some spiritual grace to the end that you may be strengthened, that you may be rooted, you may be grounded, you may become unmovable. Yeah. Amen. And here's, of course, my favorite definition of that word established. It literally is the Greek word for stability. Amen. To the end that you may be stable. What is the end goal, the destination of what we come to church for, or the plan of God for our life is to be stable. Amen. To be stable. Listen, stability is what you need. And if you're suffering in some aspect in life, sometimes, if not most times, we can trace down instability is the culprit. Instability in our emotions, instability in worries, instability in fear. You know what I mean? Oh, come on now. And so today, I'm going to give you the keys to living a stable life. All right? Praise the Lord. Say, well, Pastor, I needed a message on marriage today. Well, listen, you know what's a greatest blessing to your marriage is stability. You know why sometimes your marriage suffers? Because your spouse doesn't know what they're going to get today. Because you're pulled around by your emotions. You're led around by the circumstances. Listen, your spouse doesn't need someone who's shaken when all of a sudden the paycheck didn't come in, and all of a sudden, you're unstable and you start, shaking and quaking and getting worried and stuff like that. I tell you what, wouldn't it bless your family to see you like a rock? Just say, you know what? Not a problem. God's got it. Amen. We'll believe God. It'll come in. Our needs will be met. Amen. Praise the Lord. To the end that you may be stable, rock solid, resolute in your direction, or stability would be given to you. I'll tell you what, how would stability bless your employer? Yeah, you know what your kids need? They need stable parents.
Yes, they do.
Do you know what is at the root that would solve all of our problems here in America? Stable parenting. Everyone's looking around, where does all this come from? It comes from a lack of good parenting. You know what I mean? Isn't it amazing that the answer for the entire globe is, of course, the gospel, which is ultimately the love between the Father and the Son? Isn't that what the gospel is at the root of the gospel? The love between a divine parent and a divine child? Amen. That is the solution for all these problems in this world, is good, stable parenting, because this universe was created on good, stable parenting. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right, let's talk about the number one key that we have today. Now, of course, these might not be in any order necessarily. Of course, this will not be an exhaustive list of everything in the Bible that will make you stable. These are the three things, at least three things that I've been meditating on, okay? Number one, spiritual leadership. Woo, praise the Lord. Pastor, there you go again, talking about yourself. No, I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about God's ordained order of spiritual leadership. I have spiritual leadership. I am submitted to those that are over me. Amen. I'll tell you what, you don't want to be a part of any church that has a pastor that isn't submitted to anybody, that isn't accountable to anybody, because then he or she is a lone ranger in the body of Christ. And the last thing the body of Christ needs is any lone rangers, any superheroes, anyone without accountability, all right? And so we don't need that. Spiritual leadership. God has chosen spiritual leadership for us because they have something we need.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Paul was, of course, chosen to help lead this church at Rome. He was going to impart something there because there was a strength on his life that needed to get on their lives. And notice, he had to see them. He had to be with them in order for this impartation to take place. Praise the Lord. Thank God for spiritual leadership. See, spiritual leadership have direction. They have direction for our lives. Amen, that we need. They have stability for our lives that we need. Thank God. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt like life was shaking all around you, and things felt like the ground was, crumbling beneath your feet? Wasn't it good to look at somebody in spiritual leadership and see someone who was rock solid? I am so grateful. The times in ministry when things have come up, things that, not everybody's aware of and stuff. And I look to my pastor and I see someone who's rock solid, someone who's not shaken, someone that doesn't look at me and say, oh, you're right, that is scary. You know what I mean? Oh, you are right. Boy, I'd be shaken too if I were you. Someone that looks at you and says, God's got it.
Yeah.
God's got the answer in his hand. You know what I mean? You know, someone that looks at you and says, I've been through it. I've been through it tougher.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I've been through it longer. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm so grateful for spiritual leadership. They have something that we all need. They give direction for our lives that we could not discover on our own. Oh, listen, you know, I'm not going to try to sound like a cheesy love song or anything like that, but we all need somebody. You know what I mean? There are people that God has ordained in our life. We need somebody. Listen, if you are one of those people that you think you don't need anybody, man, I tell you what, you are drastically wrong and deceived. I need spiritual leadership in my life. I'm very grateful for it. I need the direction. I need that stability that I could not discover on my own. They have a stability that's there that you need to embrace in your life. Praise the Lord. We're going to get a little bit more specific here in a second. Amen. This stability, now, of course, notice this, what Paul said. He said, I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. Now, notice this. You'll want to get a hold of this. He starts to mention the law of impartation. Okay. All right, you need to get a hold of this, you Bible students. You need to understand, maybe, you know, you're here and you've never heard this before. See, we think that sometimes Christians think they just come to church to just get the Bible information that the pastor's preaching. You know, like if we just study the Bible, if we know the dates, if we know the chronology, and then some people, Christians, they think that that's what Bible knowledge is. No, you are here to learn the Bible, yes, but you're also here to receive impartations. Glory to God. Impartations is not something that is taught. Impartations are things that are caught from being in proximity with your spiritual leadership. Yes, I am teaching you the word here today, but there are also things that you need to catch in your life by being in proximity with your spiritual leadership. All right? Amen. So he didn't say, you know, I long to see you so I can just teach you the information of the Bible. Now, was he going to teach them the Bible? Sure he is. Was Paul one of the greatest teachers of the word of God this earth has ever seen? Yes, he was. Yeah, were their lives going to be radically changed by the preaching and teaching of the word through Paul? Yes, they were. But he said, I long to see you. He said, he taught them the word through this letter.
That's right. Yes.
There was a lot of teaching in the book of Romans. Actually, it's like the Magna Carta of Christianity.
Yeah.
It's like the Constitution of the United States of Christianity. It lays out the plan of God so masterfully and skillfully. It's not only is it the eternal word of God, but it is an incredible literary document. All right. So they got arguably the best New Testament book to teach somebody the gospel. But Paul said the letter's not enough. He said, I need to come and see you so that you can catch something off my life. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's the law of impartation. All right. You want to know what the law of impartation is? I wrote down a definition that'll help you. The law of impartation means that you are the recipient of the graces placed on another's life. You are a recipient of the graces that are placed on another's life. Oh, praise God. Oh, yeah. And I'll just tell you now, I'll end the suspense. The law of impartation doesn't just stop with spiritual leadership. The law of impartation can go all the way into your friendships. It can go into your relationships. Impartation is something that the law of impartation happens whenever you're in proximity to anybody. All right. Okay. The law of impartation means this: a gradual transfer of the anointings on their lives to you. I like that. A gradual transfer of the anointings on their life to you. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm very grateful for that. I'm very grateful. My life has been radically changed through the men and women of God that I have had the honor to be around. Amen. Praise God. It means it is a deposit of their strength and their stability from their spirit to yours. You say, well, where is that in the Bible? Well, you can read Numbers 11:17, where God told Moses, he says, I will take from the spirit that is upon you and I will place it upon others around you so that you bear not the burden alone. Amen. It is several times. Of course, Joshua, he received the wisdom of Moses through the laying on of hands. The wisdom of Moses was imparted to Joshua, his successor, there at the end of, the book of Deuteronomy. And we see where Joshua received the wisdom of Moses through impartation. Amen. The gradual transfer, the strength of their spirit gradually transferring to you. Oh, praise the Lord. Listen, I'll tell you what, we're never going to be stable in life until we find somebody to learn from, amen, that's also stable in life. Listen, I'm going to say this, and I'm just going to be real sober and real plain and blunt about it. I'm sober about what God uses me to do. Listen, I'm not a prophet. I don't stand in that office, you know, not at all. I'm not an apostle. There's churches that are started and planted out of this church, but ultimately that's a result of my pastor who stands in a measure in that office to plant churches and such. You know, I understand first and foremost, I am a pastor and I am a feeder. You know, I am not the guy that is going to have, visions of the end times. And, you know, I'm not going to, at this point in my ministry, I'm not used to prophesy over nations. You know, I'm not there to prophesy, over lands and all this stuff. I'm not used that way. I understand that. I'm used to help make the people of God stable in their life. If there's any flakiness in you, I'll dry it up. I'll dry it. I am used to establish and root and ground people in the number one thing of God that matters most, His Word. To give you an appetite for the Bible. Amen. Praise the Lord. I understand how God uses me. He uses me also as a teacher. He uses me to promote sound doctrine. Amen. He uses me to keep people safe from the extremes that are in the body of Christ. I understand how I'm used, and sometimes it does not look very spectacular. But I'll tell you what, it'll keep you stable. It'll keep you stable. It'll keep you safe. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the law of impartation, the anointings on our lives from our spiritual leadership, their strength deposited, their stability deposited in us. It's not just the information of teaching they give you. It's what's personally in them as a gift from God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. See, here's why we need spiritual leadership. They are stronger decision makers than we are. Listen. If we need anything in this life, we need to be skillful in how to be good decision makers. Whew. Oh my goodness. I know that does not sound, very interesting to some people, and it's not real creative or clever, but I'll tell you what, it is very profound to be under the leadership of people who are good, sound decision makers. You want to be under the leadership of somebody who has good discretion.
Yes, there you go.
Discretion. You know what discretion is? It'll save your life. Oh, praise God, praise God. You know, are you ready to take a little detour here? Is it all right if we take a little detour? A little Holy Ghost road trip here? Go with me back to the book of Proverbs. This scripture just started playing in my heart. I believe I can find it. Go to Proverbs chapter 2. Yes. Proverbs 2:10, it's underlined in my Bible. We'll read a few verses here. Let's talk about discretion. You know what discretion is? The ability to decide and to know what's good for you and what's not.
Yeah.
Woo! I see people all the time make decisions that are not good for them, not good for their families, or that could put somebody in risk. Listen, I do not get involved in people's personal lives. If you've been here a while, you certainly know that. I do not call anybody to try to tell them how to live or whatever. Family Church simply exists to give you an opportunity to hear the uncompromised word and to follow God.
Amen.
That's what we're here to do. We're here to give the opportunity. I don't personally try to intervene unless I see something that could hurt somebody or put them in danger. And there are several times throughout any given year where I will step into somebody's situation and I'll tell them, listen, that's dangerous for you. Don't do that. That's poor discretion. Thank God for spiritual leadership. Oh my goodness. You say, Pastor, have you ever been there before? Has your pastor ever intervened in your life and taught you the better side of discretion? Absolutely. Oh yeah, I have submitted so many things, in his life, and I've been blessed to have the strength of his good decision making. Oh my goodness. You know why? Because he has certain abilities that are for me. There's a grace on his life to be a good decision maker, and I'm here to learn from that. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. All right, where did I send you? Proverbs 2 in verse 10. It says, when wisdom entereth into your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, look at verse 11, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. The word keep means to guard you, to preserve you, to protect you. Amen. And of course, he goes on to give an example of what kind of discretion, verse 12, to deliver you from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaks froward things, all right? You are going to come across many people in life that are going to try to pull you into bad decisions, all right? And discretion is one thing that is imparted from spiritual leadership that all of a sudden you become aware of those situations and you will have a greater sense to know, I'm not going to do that. He says to keep you away from the wrong people that are speaking the wrong things. Verse 13, look at this next verse. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Going to be a lot of people trying to drag you into darkness. You need that impartation of discretion. Good decision making. Go down to verse 16. It goes on to talk about to protect you from wrong relationships. The discretion is talking about to deliver you from the strange woman, even from the stranger who flatters with her words. It could go both ways, man and woman, right? Oh, there's going to be a lot of relationships that you could get involved in life that are no good for you. Oh, but Pastor, I love him. I love him. He's so good looking and this and that. Yeah, forget all that. He's no good for you. Oh, but Pastor, I love her. She's just so beautiful and all this. Yeah. You start looking on the outward things, and now Satan has blinded you to get you into a relationship that could hurt your life. Good, sound decision making. Keep you out of bad financial decisions. And I've seen it so many times over the years where they start pursuing things other than God in their life. Pastor, I got to move away because there's a better job somewhere else. You better be careful because you just thought that your job is your provider when that spiritual feeding was really the one that was providing the whole time. Be careful of that. Sound discretion. Here's what we get from spiritual leadership. The ability to prioritize. Thank God for the ability to prioritize. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let me show you another scripture here. Bring up, for the sake of time, 1 Thessalonians 2:8. Look what Paul says here about impartation. He says, so being affectionately desirous of you, isn't that a loving thing to say? Paul said, I just love you so much. I just desire the best for you. Paul says, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. Wow. Paul says, I'm not just here to just preach the gospel only. There's something that's in me that's going to get on you. Thank God for impartation. I'm not looking for just information from my spiritual leadership. I want impartations from my spiritual leadership. Praise the Lord. I want their strength. I want their stability. I want their good decision making. Amen. Praise the Lord. You getting something out of this? All right. I thought this would be, you know, kind of interesting, you know, just to talk about for a few moments about this church and the spiritual leadership in this church. You say, well, Pastor, you know, you're here to talk about yourself. No, I'm here to give you some answers that might, you know, help you understand. You know, God will set us. He will call us to spiritual leadership because they have something we need. All right? They have a piece or many pieces of the puzzle that will help our lives. Okay? You know, I wasn't planning on bringing this scripture up. You know, Paul mentioned this. Let's see. Can you bring up, let's see, let's test me now. Is it 1 Corinthians 11:1? Or is it 2 Corinthians 11:1? Maybe it's neither. But Paul, when he said, follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul said this. He said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And now the word follower, sometimes that's a strong thing. We hear that word and we think, oh my goodness, you know, Pastor Tim wants me to be his follower. No, that is not what I'm preaching here today. The word follower there, it means in the Greek, it's the word for imitator. Imitate them. Imitate them. Don't imitate my personality. You know, dear Lord, don't do that. We don't need any more of that running around here, all right? But just it talks about, you know, in imitating their passion for the Lord, their strength in the Lord, their knowledge in the Lord, their good decision-making. Amen. Imitate the good side, right? Even as I also am of Christ. And so God does set people in our lives to imitate them. To imitate them. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. So why this spiritual leadership? Or, you know, what typically I've noticed over, you know, these last 11 years plus, you know, the kind of people that God has called to this church and to this ministry. All right. Number one, spiritual hunger. Spiritual hunger. You know, I've noticed this as any church, this would be the case for any church, if they will preach the uncompromised word of God, if they will be bold, if they will be direct, they will discover people in their community that were spiritually hungry that never even knew it. It'll discover a spiritual hunger. You know, people with spiritual hunger, I mean, they like our church. They like it. People that are looking for entertainment, they don't like this church. People that are just looking for a social club, they don't like this church. All right? Spiritual hunger is one reason. You know, we've seen that the Lord has set people in this church, spiritual hunger. Also this, the emotionally unstable. I went to that church and Pastor Tim called me emotionally unstable. No. I didn't. But I've noticed this. I've noticed it over the years. Here's one thing you probably have learned about, you know, my leadership. I'm not that emotional. Now, you get me talking about Jesus, you know, and the Father giving his Son, you know, then you'll see me get emotional. But in leadership, in counseling, in preaching, you don't see me get too emotional about, you know, things that happen here. And one reason that is because God has drawn a lot of folks that have had instability in their emotions. God has drawn them here because he wants to dry that up. Right. He wants to dry that up because emotional instability is what causes you to swerve and lose control in life. You know, maybe, you know, you came to this church and you've spent a year here or 2 years or 3 years. I guarantee you, if you look past, you know, the last, you know, couple of years or however long you've been here, your emotions have become more stable since being here, because that is one of the hallmarks of this ministry. You know, and also it's been one of the attacks and criticisms about this ministry, is because sometimes people assume that, you know, when you know, you're not an emotional kind of person in leadership, they think you're insensitive. No, I'm not insensitive, but I am sure not going to reinforce a victim mentality. You know, that says, oh, why does this happen to me? And, you know, everyone else is to blame and I'm the victim. No. That's going to get chased right out of you here. Oh, come on. Oh, my goodness. You know, if you're someone that's been prone to worry, someone that's prone to, you know, shake back and forth with the circumstances or life, I'll tell you what. Well, guess what? You're in a good place. You're going to get help for that. Praise God. And of course, honestly, this should be the case with any spiritual leadership. But I'm talking specifically, there's some things that are the case here in this church. Also, people that are denominationally taught. This church has really been a middle ground from people on both sides of the denominational spectrum. You know, people that were raised up in denominations, and all of a sudden they realize, oh my goodness, you know, maybe we were taught more about our traditions than we were the Word of God, you know. And this church is not here to defend our tradition. We're not here to defend our doctrine. You know what I mean? It's not family church's way. It's God's way. You know, and so many times God has drawn a lot of folks out of denominational churches. And you say, well, Pastor, that sounds like you're trying to, you know, drain other churches. No, no, no. I love good denominational churches. We need more of them. We need more good ones. But you and I both know that there are places that they're more about defending their tradition than they are about preaching and teaching the Word of God. It's about their stuff. They will pick and choose out of the Bible what they want to promote, and there's just certain aspects of the Word that they will not go there, you know. But this church will go anywhere that's in the Word. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so God has used this place and this leadership to help those folks. Also, people that have been hurt by flaky doctrine. Flaky doctrine. folks that have come out of the hyper-prophetic movement. People that have come out of these teachings and doctrines that says everyone can be a prophet. Everyone's going to stand up and prophesy. Everyone's going to have open night mic and prophesy and stuff. We've had a lot of folks that have been hurt by that flaky doctrine that God has brought here, and that has helped them and made them stable. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so this might describe, you know, at least one of these aspects might describe you and where you've been, you know, spiritually. I know it describes me. It describes me in my past. Thank God for help. Thank God for help. Oh, my goodness. I've also seen this. People, God sends a lot of folks here who've had wounded marriages. Wounded marriages. There's something, there is a grace, of course, first and foremost, always on the Word of God. But there's something, there is an endowment in this place to help wounded marriages and to help them recover. Amen. Hundreds, literally hundreds of married couples have seen their marriage that was on shaky ground that's now on stable ground. Thank God. Hallelujah. And so if any of those aspects describe you, or at least sometime in your past, it will make a lot of sense, you know, why God will draw you to a place like this. Amen. Because there's certain anointings in your spiritual leadership to make up for those deficiencies. Aren't you glad? Help make us stable. This is the number one key to being established. Paul said, I just pray, I want to impart something to you. I want to impart strength to you. You know, sometimes we just need a pastor that says, pull up the Pampers and let's go. You know, oh, but Pastor, I'm so wounded. No, you're not. Oh, Pastor, I'm so damaged. No, you're not. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You have the hope of glory on the inside of you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Stop the whine, stop the cry. Take off the diapers and let's get running with God. Sometimes you just need it blunt and straight. You know, but some places, you know, it's just about, oh, but Pastor, I just need your sympathy. Well, guess what? My sympathy never changed anybody's life. That guy down there. I can just imagine how that sounds to somebody. Listen, there's a big difference between compassion and sympathy. Sympathy says, I feel sorry for you, and does nothing. Compassion says, I love you, therefore I'm going to tell you the truth. I'll tell you, I've said this all the time. You've heard it so many times. I go before God and I say, Father, what can I do more for these people? What can I do? Should I start having like a coffee time rotation and just, you know, have coffee time with everybody as much as possible? You know, should I start, you know, just having a schedule and bring families to my home just on a weekly basis? I try to think these methods. Every pastor does. And the Spirit of God comes back to me every time, and the Lord says to me, if you love my sheep, feed them the word. Listen, you know, the number one thing spiritual leadership can do to love you is to stay faithful in the word. Faithful with the word. Because that word, through their gift, will make you stable. It'll establish you. Listen, we're not running a sprint here. We're running a marathon. My goal is to get you over the finish line. That finish line could be tomorrow when Jesus comes back. Or he could tarry, and that finish line could be when you're 95 years old. Whenever that finish line comes, I want you to cross it with confidence. I want you to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. That's the goal of leadership, to make you stable. So, Pastor, all right, what do I do then? How do you access the stability that's found in your spiritual leadership? Real simple, loyalty. Whatever you're loyal to is what is going to be imparted to you. The law of impartation always begins with whatever you're loyal to. Say, well, what do you mean whatever I'm loyal to? Because impartation will occur anywhere, at any time, with anything you are loyal to. Let me say that again. The law of impartation will happen anywhere, anytime, with anything you are loyal to. Say, well, Pastor, you know, what if that mean? What if I'm, you know, loyal to, you know, certain bad habits? Then that's what's going to be imparted to you. There's people that are loyal to trashy TV shows. You know, I don't even know what's on TV anymore. I don't even have a clue. You know, I don't even, you know, shows I used to use for examples, I think are long gone. So I don't even know what's on TV, but people will be, oh, I got to get home. I got to be my show. And the thing is just loaded with nothing but perversion, and they'll be loyal to it. They're there. Oh, they're on schedule, man. They are on time for that TV show. And well, whatever you're loyal to is now imparting to you. Now, believe me, that doesn't mean that there isn't harmless TV shows. Of course there is, and listen to this. Don't go home and say, well, Pastor said I have to throw out my TV. No, I didn't say that. But you better be discretionary by what you choose to entertain yourself with, right? All right, if it's filled with nonstop, you know, sex and you know, profanity and all this stuff, well, that's what's going to impart to you if you're loyal to it. If you're loyal to it. If you're loyal to the wrong music, it will impart to you. All right, if you're loyal to ungodly friends, it will impart to you. Yeah, whatever you're loyal to is what's going to be imparted. And so I'll tell you what, so that same law works with spiritual leadership. You know, how do you access the strength that is in the spiritual leadership for you? I'll tell you this, loyalty. You know why? Because spiritual leadership is loyal to you. My pastor has been very loyal to me. You know how he's been loyal? I said, well, Pastor, he must call you every day, and you must have a nice conversation. He must check up on you. No, he does not. Actually, my pastor and I, we have complete opposite personalities. We have very opposite interests, you know, not obviously the things of God. I mean, we have that in common. We have some interests that are in common. But our personalities, just the way we, our sense of humor, everything is just so different. All right? It's not whether or not he's my buddy or not. I'll tell you what, but he has been loyal to me. Why? Because he's been faithful to God. He's been faithful to God. You know, he always brings something to the table. He's always prepared. He's loyal to Jesus, and therefore he's been loyal to me. You know why my pastor's been loyal to me? Because he hasn't failed. Yeah, he hasn't given up. My pastor's been loyal to me because he shows up week in, week out. Yeah, amen. He's been, and by doing that, he's loyal to me. Well, so I decided to stay loyal to him. And I'll tell you what, I don't mind saying I've reaped the benefit of being loyal to someone who's following Christ. And I'll never apologize for it. No, I don't worship anyone. You know, I don't worship a person. You don't worship your spiritual leadership, but you certainly are loyal to them. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I've seen people who have not been loyal to him. You know, and I've watched what happens in their life. I've kept a note. Say, ooh, you know, seen people dishonor him. And I've seen the trouble follow for them. And it's not because it's him. It's not that he would ever want that to happen. But I'll tell you what, disloyalty to someone who's been loyal to you, it doesn't end up well for us, does it? All right, so how do you access the graces of God on your spiritual leadership? Loyalty. Loyalty. You getting something out of this here today? Yeah, praise the Lord. Say, well, Pastor, you're just trying to make your own following. If you ever feel that way, then you don't belong here. Because I am not in this for me. And if that isn't evident by now, you know, I don't know what else to do. Because I'm not in this for me. I'm not trying to make anyone a subject to me. I'm just saying that loyalty is going to go both ways. I'm going to be loyal to you. I'm going to be loyal. Praise the Lord. All right, let's talk about the second key to being stable. You say, well, Pastor, that first one took so much time. Yeah, well, this second one's going to take even longer. No, it's not. Because we've talked about it. Second one is your associations. Who you surround your life with. Like I said, the law of impartation, it doesn't just work, you know, with spiritual leadership. It works with anybody. Can you bring up Proverbs 13:20? Proverbs 13:20, we'll start to see the law of impartation working now with the friends that we choose, the people that we spend time with, those that we bring into our confidence. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. That right there would solve so many problems for Christians. That right there. Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Wow, I don't think that leaves a whole lot of room for interpretation, does it? Sounds a lot like what I'm talking about. Who you surround yourself with, what they have is going to get on you. The law of impartation, remember, it's always an operation to whatever or whoever you're loyal to. Oh, praise God. We got to know that and understand. All right, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Our associations, all right, it's at work. When we're around our friends, your associations is what will feed your personality. All right? Your associations is what will drive your habits. See, people are imparting their habits to you. Come on. This is why it matters, parents, who your kids are around. Parents, this is why you're the authority in their life. Listen, you don't have to. Listen, if you're a parent and you're so scared of your kid not liking you, you're going to be a bad parent. Because your role of a parent said, no, sorry, not going to happen. You're not spending time with that person. Nope. And that kid might kick and scream and yell and say nasty things to you. It don't matter. I don't care. I'm not here first and foremost to be liked by my kids. That'll come later. But I think you guys are like me now, right? You did? Am I doing all right? Okay, we're good. Good, all right, we got that settled. You know, I mean, all the four-wheeler rides, the time in the woods, all these things, you know, the boating together. I, you know, do a lot of things with my boys, playing baseball, you know, teaching them, you know, all those things. And being a good dad, I do those things. You know, they like that. That grows a wonderful relationship. But I'll tell you what, if they step out, if they get out of range, so to speak, if they try to bring people into their life that are no good, guess who's the authority in that life to stop it? It's mine. It's mine. Praise the Lord. That's why we tell our boys all the time, when you grow up and it's time to get married, guess who's got to approve of the wife? Right here. And especially right here. Oh, yeah. That's right. Oh, man. You say, well, Pastor, that just seems like you're running their life. I know it's in such sharp contrast to how American society says, let your kids go out and discover on their own. Yeah, that's why the Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Yeah, you want to let foolishness off the leash? See how that works for you. Oh, is this such a control monger? Just rules his children with an iron fist. I don't know if I'd say that. But I tell you what, I'm in control. You know what I mean? I'm not going to... Listen, I'm not going to gamble my children with somebody else's bad habits. I'm not going to gamble their future. Listen, I have some inkling of the things that my boys are called to do. I don't have everything yet, but I have some things, and things that I haven't even discussed with my wife yet because I'm just sitting on it. I'm just sitting on it. So be it, Father. So be it. You know, I see some things, and I'm just going to sit on that or whatever, and I'm sure not going to let the plan of God get hijacked because, Dad, she's just so pretty. Well, like in the words of Phil Robertson, behind all that makeup can be a lot of evil, son. I like that quote. I like write that in my Bible. Can be. Can be. You listen, there can be a lot of beauty on the outside and there can be nothing but trouble on the inside both ways. Typically, it's usually the other way. It's the man that's usually, you know, more the trouble these days. Anyway, we won't go into that. You know, guys, I pick on you a lot. And I'm inviting you to a men's meeting soon. And so, we'll save all that for then. No, I will say this, though, not for a commercial. We're going to set some dates for that men's meeting. But I tell you, men, if you'll come to that, your lives will be changed. Your lives will be changed. Amen. And I'll tell you what, wives, you'll be glad they went. But it won't be an attacking situation. I guarantee you that. It'll help you. It'll really help you. Your associations, right? They will feed your personality. They will drive your habits. And listen to this. They will control your conduct. Yep. I went to church today and the pastor preached on peer pressure. Well, it kind of sounds like that a little bit. But this is obviously beyond that. Listen. I don't bring anybody into my personal confidence who is not sold out to God. Say, well, Pastor, well, if you do that, then you'll have so many fewer friends. My goal in life is not to count my friends. Well, Pastor, I've seen you on Facebook. You have hundreds of friends. Oh, give me a break. Give me a break. Anyway, we won't go into that. I'll be honest. All right, you want to hear it just from the horse's mouth? I get involved in those things for one reason and one reason alone. Hopefully people will walk through these doors and their lives will be changed. That's the only reason why. Amen. Glory to God. People are so concerned about what people think. That's why Facebook is so prosperous. Because it just reflects mankind's addiction to people's opinions. They're addicted. Oh, how many friends can I get? I got 3,000 virtual friends. Those people aren't your friends. They wanted you on their list for the same reason why you wanted them on yours, to pad your numbers. That's right. Oh. Listen, you know I'm speaking some truth there. Oh, I've had people literally tell me, Pastor, I put a post on Facebook and I only got 25 likes. Give me a break. See, there's an anointing there to dry that up. Pull up your big boy pants and let's go. Gee whiz, oh, my emotions are hurt. Listen, if you don't get enough life on Facebook and that bothers you, what are you going to do when the devil really rears his head? Oh, there he goes again. He's on the Facebook soapbox. Yep. Oh, anyhow, I could go a little further, but I won't. Hey, you're in Proverbs chapter 2. Go over to chapter 1. It's actually on the same page in my Bible. Proverbs chapter 1, talking about associations, getting ready to wrap this up. Yeah, make you stable. Look at Proverbs 1:10. Oh, man, here's a passage worthy of meditation. Here's a passage worthy of meditation. Verse 10, my son, if sinners entice you, consent thou not. Notice the word consent says don't agree with them. Why? Because whatever you agree with is what imparts to you. All right? Agreement equals impartation. Never forget it. Whatever you agree with is what's going to get on your life. Oh, boy. There's a lot of examples we could give. All right? It says if sinners entice you, don't agree with them. Don't consent yourself to them. If they say, come with us, let us lie wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Well, I'll be honest, a lot of people don't talk like that necessarily these days. But you'll see what it's talking about. In verse 12, he says, let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. He says, cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. This is still the evil people trying to entice this person. He says, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain your foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net or the snare is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. Meaning these are people that try to cause harm at somebody else's expense. Listen, you might not be breaking into anybody's house anytime soon. But I tell you what, when you sit privately and you gossip about people and you're getting laughs at people's expense and you're sitting and running them through the mud and trashing them with other people, you're doing what chapter 1 is talking about here. All right? You're lying wait. You're lurking for their own blood. The Bible says when you do that, you are actually setting the trap for yourself. Listen, here's one of the ways how you determine your associations. How do they treat other people? How do they talk about other people when they're around you? If they're trashing somebody else, you can guarantee you when you're not around, they're trashing you. Listen, how does someone conduct themselves in their relationships with other people? If they're backbiters, if they're gossipers, listen, there's your clue. There's your cue to get out of that friendship. Yeah, I have no time. If you want a backbite, I don't got time for you. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. Amen. Don't join or consent yourself to people that put others down. You know, there's only one reason why people put someone down is because they're trying to lift themselves up. Listen, undue criticism, malicious insults, and gossip, what it is, it's always the first sign of pride. Pride cometh before a fall. Don't let their fall be your fall. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right, and let's close this up now. The third and final key to being stable in life, and I've said it already, emotions. Emotional stability. Emotions are that temptation to get loose in life, to start swerving and lose control, all right? Our society is trying to prevent every bad feeling through political correctness. Come on, you got to see this. Oh, everyone's got to be so careful. And of course, no one here would ever promote any racist statement, any hateful statement, anything that's phobic in any way. You know what I mean? I would never promote or agree with that. But our society is trying to promote this idea like if your feelings get hurt, you're the victim. You know, that if someone hurts your feelings, if somebody says something about you or your race or your background or your whatever, then all of a sudden, you know, it gives you leverage. It entitles you to special treatment because you actually had to face a bad feeling in life. As long as there are people on this earth and flesh on this earth and a devil to tempt it, you are going to hear people say bad stuff. They're going to say it about you. They're going to say it about people you love and care about. There's always going to be malicious hate. There's always going to be racism. There's going to be, you know, xenophobes, homophobes, all the phobes that, you know, people are, you know, constantly talk about. There's always going to be hateful words. There's always going to be, you know, hateful speech and actions against you. What are you going to do when that happens to you? All right. The words against you don't identify you. That does not determine your future. Your reaction to those things does. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we're talking about emotional stability. People are trying to be politically correct. Yeah. Like I said, it's this nonstop reinforcing of a victim mentality. Listen, what are you going to do when someone says something about you? What are you going to do when you're around somebody that speaks hateful? And, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to love them. That's what you're going to do. You're going to forgive them. You're going to love the unlovable. Those words don't make you a victim. You know what I mean? They don't give you permission to lose control of your emotions. You know why? Because our society has become so addicted to good feelings. We just can't handle it anymore if someone violates our good feelings. And you heard me get on this soapbox. You know, it's like today we live in a time where don't disappoint the kids. No child should ever feel disappointed in life. If you don't learn how to handle it then, how are you going to handle it when you're older? Oh, every kid's just got to get everything they want because they can't ever face a disappointing feeling. Well, they better learn how to do that. They better learn how to react with character and integrity when things don't go their way. Oh, give them all a trophy. Can't even have sports tournaments anymore. Because there might be a loser. Yeah, that's right. There's going to be a losing team. And that losing team needs to learn the experience of shaking hands with the one that fairly beat them. Shake their hands and look them in the eye and say, good game. You played better than we did today. I'm seeing it. You know, I see it even in the... Pastor Tim's going off about Little League here today. Well, you know, my boy's playing Little League, and I even see it. You know, they'll be out there, and, you know, everyone's saying, oh, you know, I've heard coaches telling the team that lost, oh, you didn't lose, everyone's a winner today. Oh, what a bunch of garbage. My kid's team lost, tell them they lost. Tell them to go over and shake those kids' hands. Tell them congratulations, you beat us fair and square. You know, and I hear this, all the coaches, oh, don't disappoint anybody. Tell them they're all winners. They're all winners. Yeah, pretty soon, like, both teams are going to get a Super Bowl trophy. That's what this generation is going to do. When that generation grows up and they get to the Super Bowl, both teams are going to say, well, where's my ring? Everyone gets a Super Bowl ring. Why even play the games anymore? Let's just go straight to the award ceremony. You're all winners because we're trying to protect you from the emotional onslaught of feeling disappointed in life. See, what we're going to do is actually we're going to make them invalids. They need to learn now how to lose with grace. They need to know now how to deal with that, you know, to deal with that feeling of, well, it didn't work this time. Try harder next time. You know what I mean? Have you ever gone through something in life where it just didn't go the way you wanted it? Come on now. You better learn. I mean, that seriously, that mentality will start to invade and prevail in the church if we're not careful. Everyone gets recognized. God doesn't reward everyone who gets recognized. He rewards those that do well privately. He said, Jesus said, when you stand in public, don't sit there and advertise your spirituality. He said, those Pharisees that do that, they advertise how spiritual they are. He says, they have their reward openly. He said, but if you pray to God in private, in secret, God will reward you openly. Amen. You know, what if you didn't get the job you wanted? What if? Does that mean, well, faith doesn't work now? What, did God lie? Because you actually had to face a feeling. See what I'm talking about? People get so pulled and pushed around by their emotions. Listen, if you are going to be a person like that, you will never be stable in God. You know what I mean? Listen, Paul said that. Can we bring that up? Can we bring up Philippians 4:11? I wasn't even prepared with this verse, but man, the Spirit of God starts speaking to me. I believe that's somewhat correct. Yeah, that's exactly the one. Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want or lack. He says, not about what I lack, what I have or I don't have. He says, for I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. He said, whether I face a disappointing situation, I'm content. Yeah, and go on to the next verse, because he starts talking about in context specifically what he's talking about. He says, I know both how to be abased. He says, I know how to be abound. He's talking financially here. He says, I know what it's like to have little, and I know what it's like to have a lot. He said, it doesn't matter. Money or circumstances or whatever thing in life doesn't bring me high or low. Come on, if you let money take you high, I guarantee you'll let it take you low. He said, oh, the money came in, now it finally is working. Wrong attitude. You should have been rock solid the whole time. Praise God. There it is. Praise the Lord. It'll come. It'll go. And another need will arise. And when the other need will arise, I'll believe God for that one too. He says, I know how to be abased. He's saying, my emotions don't fluctuate by what's going on around me. He's like, I'm not going to be unstable like that. He says, everywhere in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He said, whatever circumstance I'm in, a lot or a little, I'm instructed to be content. Oh, you know why? Because the word instructed him. His emotions are not his instructions. Come on. If you're an emotionally unstable person, you might be sitting here and say, well, Pastor, what do I do? Well, you're doing the right thing here today. You're hearing the word. You're submitted under spiritual leadership. But here's what you do if you're emotionally unstable. All right, you meditate in the word. You get into the word and meditate on it. Notice I didn't say to read your Bible. I said meditate in the word. There's a difference. Meditate is to find verses that are pertaining to your situation and to just sit there and repeat them to yourself. Speak them to yourself over and over. Literally, read them to yourself. Memorize them to yourself. You know, pronounce those words right out of your mouth. That meditation will make you way more emotionally stable. Amen. You know what I mean? Where, you know, a financial trial comes up, you just look at it and say, okay, God's faithful. Yeah. Something comes up in your life, God's faithful. You know, remember the Shunammite woman with the son who died? You know, they asked her, so what do you think? She said, it's well. And of course, she received a miracle. She got her son back. Aren't you glad? Did you get something out of this here today? Yes. Keys to being stable in life. It's what you need. It's what I need. These are the prescriptions that God has given to us so we are not flaky. So we're not emotionally unstable. So we're not out of control in life. It'll help you. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and let's pray.